Welcome to On The Mic Podcast. This is your host, Tim Drake. The song you just heard was Bleed It Dry. The song comes courtesy to us of today's guest, the band The Young Electric. On today's episode, I sat down with Riley and Natty of The Young Electric. I've been friends with these guys for many, many years. From when they were in another band prior to The Young Electric called The Trademark. We had done a lot of shows with them with a store that I used to run, and it was great sitting down and catching up with these guys again. It's been about a year and a half since I had a chance to talk with them when we first sat down and filmed a webisode for a TV show that I was pitching. And so it was good to catch up and kind of see what they have been up to since they released their debut album Machines just about a year ago that came out on Tragic Hero Records. And it was good to hear, you know, some of the new music that these guys have coming out. Today, as you were listening to this, December 13th, Friday the 13th, they just released a new EP called Crows that you can pick up on iTunes. Also today, The Young Electric actually headed out on tour. Now, they'll be touring throughout California, Arizona, Utah, and New Mexico before they come home for the Christmas holidays. And then they'll be back out on the road in 2014. So I talked to Natty and Riley a little bit about what they've been up to, finding out some more about this new music that they've been putting out, and kind of the direction that the band is heading. So I really hope you guys enjoy this interview with them. Make sure you go check them out on Facebook and Twitter, as well as on Instagram. You can also visit their website, and all of those links will be posted on the On The Mic Podcast website for you to check out. I know they just put out some awesome new merchandise that you're definitely going to want to get your hands on. Hop over to iTunes, pick up their debut album, Machines, as well as the new EP that came out today called Crows, as well as the B-sides called Schematics, released a few weeks back, some of the B-sides when they recorded the album Machines. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Here it is, The Young Electric. So, big game today. You guys, how do you feel the chances are?
I don't know. I think if it wasn't a big game, we would win. But because it's a big game, sometimes we like to choke. So, I'm always kind of negative, though. That's just the way I am. The cup's always half empty. So, I think we will probably lose. I'm hoping we win, of course. But I'm just a realist.
I don't know, for some reason I think after meeting a few of the guys over the last few weeks and they've come in to X96, they're just so calm and just, it's like, yeah, we're playing in a championship game, big deal. Yeah,
I think that's, maybe they're trying to change things up that way, because it's always been, you know, in games past, like, they've had a couple, like, bigger games at Rio Tinto, and it's always been, like, kind of a big deal, and they've been talking about a lot about it. So I think that they're trying to change directions with this one and just trying to make it not a big deal, probably. I don't think you can really take the gravity of the game away.
Yeah. Well, Chris Schuler came in, like, right as he was coming off injury. And, yeah, he just didn't even faze him. He was just having a good time, and it was just like, wow, I would be freaking out.
That's one guy I'm glad we're getting back, or we have back, because he's just amazing, and we were missing a center back like him, so I'm really excited. I guess I'm coming across as I'm not excited. I'm super excited. I just, whenever I like something, it tends to go to poop, I guess.
I've just learned when it comes to sports that if I get my hopes up way too much, or anticipate anything, I'm bound to let myself down. Yeah. And so, yeah, I get where you're coming from. I won't even bet on sports. Every time I used to bet on sports, it would always be something where my team would lose. Uh-huh. And so I just took it as a bad omen. I could never gamble with games or anything.
My teams that I follow really like to do really well, and then something happens in the middle of the game, and it just totally, everything just goes not so good, not good at all.
So now it's been a little over a year since we last talked, and you guys had, you were getting ready to release the album at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, tell me a little bit over the last year, kind of how things have changed with the album being released.
and how some of that's kind of gone.
Had we... Yeah, we had... we actually, this year, we haven't been doing, as far as like a band, like, I don't know, like, what we have been doing was changed. Like, we didn't really tour too much, even playing shows. We were kind of like, you know, which is probably a really smart thing to do after you release a CD, is just to totally, you know, contemplate what you're doing. That CD was really, I love it, and I love Machines, but it was really... I don't know, not a bad place as a band, but as a kind of, I don't know, I guess it was kind of it was a hard place as a band. And, you know, I guess being in a band is a hard thing to do, but that time was just really like, we didn't know what we were doing. We were kind of just running around with our heads cut off. And now, the past few months, we got a new manager, and, you know, he took us under his wing. He's from Seattle, and he's a really good friend, and he's a fan of the music. So for one, that's good for us, because we love to surround ourselves with people who are excited about what we're doing. But he actually told us, you know, we haven't really been able to get any tractions with Machines as far as like really getting anything going on with the band. And he said that he knew of a couple producers who would work well with us. He thinks that we had never captured what we were capable of doing on a CD, and we were like, well, we have this really good full length. We put a ton of money into it. Like, the songs are awesome on it, and I still feel like the songs are awesome on it. I was like, I can see where you're coming from, but, you know, I love that record. It should be, you know, we should be the biggest band in the world. But that... You know, after thinking about it, I was like, well, you know what? It hasn't been picked up. There really isn't any, you know, buzz about it anymore. And we haven't, honestly, we didn't do our job as a band to take it out to people. We really slacked on that. You know, it's hard when you're, being in a band has changed so much from when I started in a band, and even from when bands were in the early 2000s, you know, to where you put out a CD, you tour. If you tour enough, you're going to get big. It's not like that anymore. It's, you know, there's factors that it's, yeah. Everything that happens is, I don't know.
So you say you had another, a full length that nobody had heard. Is this something that you guys did in between, like, the transition of the trademark to...
No, to this full length, I'm talking about Machines.
Oh, you're talking about Machines.
And, because, I mean, Machines didn't... It didn't go... We were signed when we were on Tragic Hero, and that's when we were putting out Machines. And we just made some dumb decisions as a band when we were putting out Machines, and just... I don't know if we were lazy. I guess we could say that we were lazy, and we just thought that, oh, we're signed now, so we can just kind of coast, and let's see what other people can do for us, instead of, you know, what we were kind of... have always been, is a DIY band. And that's really... it was hard to kind of step back into that, to like, oh, we actually, you know, all these promises being made aren't going to happen. We have to do shit ourselves. So it's, so that was kind of hard to get. It was hard to go back from like thinking you had made like your dreams come true. Like, oh, like, cause you had always thought that like, oh, getting signed is all that happens, you know?
Right.
So it was hard to have a new manager come back and tell us, you know, I'm not sure if that CD was good enough, and I'm not sure if you guys worked hard enough. Like, you guys didn't do any tours, because, you know, besides the Hawthorne Heights tour, to get promotion for it, he was like, you guys have been kind of just sitting on your butts. And we had, to an extent, like, we had been writing a lot, so that was good, because that's the most important thing as a band, is you got to keep writing, you got to keep fresh with ideas. But if you're not getting out there playing in front of people and showing them what you're doing and things like that, you know, just networking and promoting yourself, then you're not going to get anywhere. And so him telling us that, we were like, all right, well, let's think things. And I had him send us the producers. We went back and forth a little bit, and I listened to each producer that he'd send us, and we finally found one that we were really excited about. So that's what kind of changed our focus into just starting something new, kind of not really scrapping Machines, but to focusing on getting something new out there.
Okay. I mean, Machines is a great album, and it was an album that I was beyond thrilled when you guys when it finally hit the shelves to get out and pick it up.
And that was a problem, too. And that's why working with Tragic Hero, well, Yeah, it was very tragic. Because the record didn't release till a year after... Oh, I'm sorry.
You're very bad.
Just turn that off. But it didn't release until a year after we had recorded it, and also after we had gone on one of our biggest tours that we had ever been on. And so it's kind of like, I can see why they were waiting, why Tragic was waiting to release it. But then again, I'm like, we should have just released it, toured, and had it out while we were on tour. I think that's the biggest problem we had, is like, we went out on tour with Hawthorne and we didn't have any music to sell. We didn't have anything out. We had a little demo and that was it. But I think just a bunch of things just didn't really go our way. I don't know how else to say it. Like, it's, I don't know.
But I mean, you guys just were out in San Francisco recording some new music.
Uh-huh.
So kind of, I mean, you've got this kind of renewed energy for these new songs.
Oh, I feel more upbeat and better about where we are right now than I ever have in my whole life. And that is, I think it's kind of because we're creating music for ourselves right now. We're creating music, you know, we aren't trying to be a pop band to sell millions of records. We're trying to play songs that we really feel are the best that we can do. And Machines are great songs. It's not like we're like, I'm not unhappy by the songs. I'm unhappy by the production and by the people we had working on it with us.
Yeah, because I've shown it to a lot of people, and I don't think there's a single person that's listened to it that's been like, yeah, I don't just love the album. So yeah, it's definitely a solid album, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, thank you for saying that, first of all. It's a lot of people, and you know, it's not like, if we wanted to push that, and we wanted to push that, like, now, I still think we could push that CD, but as far as a band, we were so burned out, because that's important to be excited about your music as a band. And so those songs, maybe they're even better than the ones we record now. I don't know. I'm pretty sure they aren't. I'm pretty sure that these new ones we are a lot better, but it does matter if the band and the people, like, pushing the band are excited about the music. And I think we just sat on the CD too long and it just got old and people were waiting for things to happen and they never did. And so that CD was kind of seen as like a, oh, I don't even want to talk about it. Like, let's just focus on something else. Let's not focus that we have a CD that's actually really good now that just nobody's listening to. But again, that's why I'm really excited where we are now, is because we are really, really excited about this new, I don't know, it sounds like a different band than the Young Electric was on Machine, so I think that's always good. I know that some people get frustrated when their bands kind of change the sound. I don't think we changed fully. I think it's just like a, it's kind of...
It's an evolution.
Yeah, this is more, I was doing an interview with an online magazine, and one of the questions was asking about, you know, how, if you could change anything, what would it be? And my answer was that we could capture our performance live onto recording. And that had never happened before, you know, with the intensity that we had. Because our live shows, we're really known for our live shows. And we can play with a hardcore band, we can play with a pop rock band, we can play with an indie band. And people will usually respect it because we're really good at what we do. And it had never been captured on a CD. The songs have been captured, but just not the feeling that you get. And not that this CD is actually as far from live that you can get the songs that we just recorded. Like, it's a real production piece. Mm-hmm. But it captured the rawness. And I know that seems weird, but it captured the rawness and the intensity of the songs. And so I don't know. I guess my one dream that we could capture what we do live is finally come to pass.
Yeah, and I mean, the first time I ever saw you guys, I mean, it was the first time I'd even heard you guys, and I think it was either down at Muse or Valor years and years ago. So, and yeah, I mean, your live show, I remember just being blown away watching Drew just throw himself all over the stage, because it wasn't something I was seeing a lot of at the time with a band that had that much energy.
I don't think you see that a lot now with bands who bring it, because now it's kind of, you know, we want to, and not that you want to sound good, but people go to see a show, and you go to, you know, you're trying to sell your craft, and it's just, we've always been, we're really passionate about our music live, and we like to, every time we play it, it's kind of like new for us. So we want to, I don't know, we want to share in the experience of getting people excited about the music that we're playing. So it's always been, our live show has been really intense and just emotional, kind of. And so, I don't know, I really feel like we captured it on the CD. I know you haven't really heard any stuff from the CD.
I've just heard the teaser, but I'm looking forward to listening to it a little bit later today before you guys get this released. And it's releasing on the 12th, is that right?
Friday the 13th,
so, yeah. That's right.
Picked a great day. One of my favorite days to release it, so...
Yeah, I always laugh because I have two black cats. Every time Friday the 13th rolls around, I'm like, it's my bad luck. Doubled if I got both of them crossing.
And that maybe I'll come interview with you in a year, and I'll be like, oh, we shouldn't have released it that soon. Because we just barely got done recording these. We're like, we just got back a week ago. We got the masters back. And we're like, you know what? We're leaving on this tour. Last time we went on a tour, we didn't have our CD. Let's just push this. Let's just get it done, you know. We're trying to promote for it right now, but we're like, we just rather have a CD out and get it so kids can have the music that we're excited about when we play for them, instead of being like, well, it's coming out, you know. And I think building hype as a band is a good thing to do, but it's also, we don't want to sit on our butts and just like, well, it's coming, just wait for it. Like, we're proud of it, we'll show it. If people get bored of it, we'll go record some more, and yeah.
Plus, at least this time too, with your tour, you'll at least have machines as well to be able to have that out there too, to allow fans to pick that up.
Yeah, we'll still have machines out there, and we actually still play a bunch of songs for machines. And it's kind of funny, while we were recording in San Francisco with a guy named Shane Gould, and that's the producer we ended up going with. He's an amazing dude. It was an experience working with him. But he had actually, to get, he knew that we were coming like a month in advance, and he was like, he records a lot of metal and hardcore bands, and he was like, I really love this music that you guys are doing. This is the kind of music that I want to start recording. So he was kind of really focused on getting it to sound really good. He took our machine CD, and he was like, you know, it's a great recording. The guy, you know, did it, knew what he was doing. He was like, it's not the sound that I would picture for you guys. And so he actually took Golden, and he did his own version of it. He mixed his own version of it, and we listened to it. It was the first time we had met him, and we got down there, and he was like, let me show you guys what I did with your song. And he played it on his features. We're like, oh wow, this is going to be awesome. So we were thinking of maybe having him remix and master machines, but we're like, you know, we're writing so much that those songs are good, but maybe that's come to pass, and we should just let it die, and let's focus on new awesome music that is going to sound like this. So that's what we decided to do.
Awesome. I'm really excited to listen to it here. Now, you mentioned, you know, getting a new manager and everything is kind of what helped renew everything. So what was it like as you guys did leave to San Francisco to go record, and you have that time as a band really renewing the energy? What was it like as a band in whole? You know, what was the environment like to recharge that before you even listened to his remix of Golden?
Well, we were so excited because this wasn't the first time. Our old producer who we were working with, who we did machines with, his name's Jim Wirt, and he's a great guy, and we love him. But he likes everything. We were recording to tape half the time. I don't know if you know what that is, but yeah. Everything is digital now, and we did machines on tape, and
so
then
still
we transferred
to
digital.
Real, pretty much.
So it was definitely, he's a realist for the sound of music. But when we were going down there, we were like, we're finally going to work with someone who's making the music that we kind of listen to as a band. I mean, I love natural sounding records, and I always will, but at the same time, like, I love high production value records too. And so it's kind of like, I didn't want to go like too balls out with like the production. I was like, this guy gets the kind of music that we're going to do. And
especially on a harder album too. I mean, I love it when I listen to those albums, and the production value is so good that the way I was like described, it's like I got punched in the face.
Yeah.
When I listened to it, and that's what I love, when I just get that solid
and
sound.
And that's what we're hoping. That's what, because we all listen to music that punches us in the face, so we want to be doing the punching instead of
I guess. This is getting punched.
Getting punched. Oh, yeah. But, is Natty here? Yeah, let him in. Natty's here. All right.
Yeah, totally fine. We can pause for a moment.
He can bring some direction into this. I turned my phone off, and Natty's here.
The first time I did I Am Salt Lake, I had forgot to turn my phone off, and midway through, like, it wasn't just like R2-D2, it was Taking Back Sunday. It just, like, blares through, and I was just like, oh. Like, I felt so dumb.
Here are some texts from Natty at the door. Please answer door. So cold. In my car, tell me when I can come in. Sorry, Natty.
I'm glad Natty's able to join us this time, because when we did the webisode shoot, he wasn't there.
Oh, I thought, because it usually is me and Natty who do things like this.
Oh, really?
I don't know. So I am happy he's here too.
Yeah, I remember I had posted some of the pictures from it, and Natty commented on one of them. Was like, I wasn't even there for this, because it was just you, Drew, and Matt.
Uh-huh. I can hear his footsteps. So you have cats?
Yes.
How many cats?
Got the two. They're cooped up in their room right now, so they don't swarm everybody. Because they will swarm. What's going on, Addy?
Hey, sorry, dude. I turned my phone off because Matt texted me, and I guess I didn't. Yeah.
I didn't know important people would be texting.
Good thing you're here. I've been messing up this interview.
All
right. He read us your text, though, that you were just sitting out there freezing.
So
at least it's warmed up some. Each morning when I go to leave, it's like 1 degree out for like the last week. And it's, I was like, that's when you know God's just looking down and he's just like, yeah, I'm being a dick right now. So where were we?
Does God shit smell?
I would imagine so.
I think that's where that comes from.
That would explain so much. All right, so where were we?
Talking about the excitement going down to record.
Yes, the excitement.
And I was off on some, I don't even remember what I was talking about, but it probably wasn't that.
Riley, when he was off on a tangent about, like, life for the last year just
kind of
sucked, and we're just sitting around.
Hey, it didn't suck. Hey, I'm actually really excited. We wrote some good tunes, so.
But then we got a new manager, and he was like, you guys should do something. So now we're doing something.
He woke us up, but the drive to, on the way down to produce, it was actually awesome, because we drove down in Natty's little car, so we were, well, not little car, it was actually quite spacious in there.
Yes, the legroom is great.
But we drove down there, and we're used to being in a van, but it was kind of, we hadn't toured in a little bit, so being all together was actually not really foreign, but it was good to get back together and to, I'm with my best friends now, this is actually awesome, we're down, and we're going to do this awesome thing that we all, like, put so much work into, and it's, you know, we were really excited about it. I think that was the whole trip down, was just super excited about it. We weren't scared at all. We weren't, worried, like, oh, what about these songs? Like, you know, because we all just knew, we were like, this is music that we love to do. We're finally going to work with a dude that can capture it. So it was really excitement. I haven't been that excited. Well, I have been that excited to record, but this one, the whole trip was just all excitement, and it turned out exactly even better than I thought it would be, and that hadn't happened as a band.
Exactly even better than we thought.
Did I say that?
Put that in quotes.
Exactly even better than we thought.
That'll be our review for the packaging of the album. There.
Exactly even better than the way I thought.
But that's what you should just name the next album.
Probably.
So now, even outside of all the music, you guys still keep incredibly busy. I see so many different projects that you guys are always working on. I see you do a lot of home repair stuff, and Natty's always got so much art stuff that I see out there. So how do you guys find that balance with everything that you're doing within your kind of your home and personal lives, and then within like the band life?
There's no balance.
Yeah, there's no balance. Actually,
it's 4 or 5 a.m. to 2 a.m. every day.
I was up building. So Natty will design the stuff that we do, and then, like, sometimes, like, we he designed these boxes that we're going to use for our live performances that say The Young Electric, and there's a lightning bolt, and they light up, and we put them on our guitar cab. So he designed those, and I was up till 2 making them last night, and Natty stays up all the time finishing, because he does all our art. He does everything for The Young Electric.
Working on videos right now that'll be coming out soon, new lyric video for the new song on the new EP, so...
There's usually a little bit more balance, I think, as of right now, where we're, like, getting ready to release a CD, and really in the past couple months, where we've been focusing on, like, oh, we have a plan of what we need to be doing, and the writing process, like, it's kind of been really chaotic to kind of put work and the band, which is work in itself. It's fun work, and so I can't say it's work, but sometimes it feels like work when you're...
Yeah, for sure.
So doing this more on, like, a DIY basis... How is it different now planning to go out on these tours to help promote this album prior to being, you know, with the label and being on a bigger tour with Hawthorne Heights? How different is that now?
Not that you take anything for granted, but granted. Not that we take anything for granted. We're more of steel and wood people. No, It's kind of back to the glory days when we were in our last band, where we would book things ourselves. And we actually didn't book this tour ourselves, so it's not like a DIY tour. It's less than Hawthorne Heights, but it's at the same time, like, we weren't out there booking it, but we had a hand in promoting the shows and, you know, doing the poster art.
Yeah, we were a lot more involved this time around, and so it feels, I think, more personal. The Hawthorne tour was great, but it was like this thing that was just handed to us, like, oh, here, go on this tour, and...
It didn't feel like our tour. We were like joining the tour. This feels like, oh, this is something we're doing. We're gonna have an awesome CD, our live show. You know, it kind of feels just more personal to us, and so we're just excited to get back out on the road. Really, it's been too long.
Yeah. So I mean, going into your last show was like what, 3 days before Christmas?
It was on the 22nd.
So I mean, all of you guys are married now. How do the wives feel about having you guys out on the road during kind of the peak of the holidays?
My wife's pretty supportive about everything, and she understands kind of the dynamic. She knew what she was getting into when she married a dude in the band, and so she's pretty understanding usually. So I don't know. I'm pretty lucky in that regard. I know for some people it's kind of difficult, but
yeah, for me it's very difficult. I have no support. I never get to go. I'm lucky I'll get to join this one. I was thinking I'd have to get a stand-in for me, but she's letting me go, and I'm very thankful.
Stand-in lead singer, yeah.
Just hold the lyric sheet up.
Yeah, there you go.
Just do it like lyrics, karaoke. Just have it bouncing along a screen there. No, and it's always nice to have that. I've always joked that I'm shocked that my wife a couple years ago, and I was like, yeah, so I'm dropping out of business school because I'm going to go into comedy and film. I figured, you know, most wives would be like, here's the divorce papers, and you just sign here. But luckily she was just like, all right, cool, like, yeah, do it. So, I'm always glad when I do see, you know, bands where, yeah, they've got the full support of their families behind them.
See, and that's why people like you and me will never be successful, is because we have so much support that really... An artist is supposed to starve, and you're supposed to, you know, you're not supposed to have as much support. Everyone's supposed to be down on you. You're supposed to, you know, I guess as far as The Young Electric, I guess we should be very successful then. But all the support we get is just wonderful, and our families and our wives and just...
Even our jobs are all pretty
yeah,
decently supportive of this. Like, my job is just like, okay, whatever. Have fun. You know, so...
That's because they aren't exactly sure what Natty's doing there.
That's true. You're just like Kramer. You show up with a briefcase of crackers and.
Yep. That actually makes a lot more sense now.
He takes our cameras.
Yeah, exactly.
I always wanted to find that job somewhere where I could just show up and do nothing. I guess I kind of do that now, but. So, who are you guys going out on tour with this time around?
We're going, the producer who we were working with on these three songs, he's in a band called The Animal and Me, and they're kind of headlining the tour, because it's mainly in their area of California, and so, They're headlining this tour, and they're kind of a harder band. They have a girl singer, though. They're super tight and super, I don't know, their records are really good. We met three of the members in that band when we were recording, and they just seem like awesome people. So I'm really excited because it's kind of like going out with friends, but because we have met before, so it's not totally new and it's not going to be really weird as it usually is. Like the first couple days usually on tour is like, huh. Should we talk to him?
Everybody stands in like opposite corners of the room, like, ugh.
Whose merch is better? Yeah. Our merch is big. We have lots of lights. Yeah. Like, I hope that we don't have any of those moments. Like, I still, you know, because there's like, I just want it to be fun. We're just looking to have a good time, and I think they are too. So
is that kind of how it was though, when you were on the Hawthorne Heights tour? Like, you guys had seen these guys for years, and all of a sudden you're on their tour and just don't make eye contact. Just
yeah, that's exactly how it was. I remember the first show was in Virginia. Wait.
Yeah, it was Virginia Beach.
Yeah, Virginia Beach. And we walked in and it was like, oh, we were so excited to be on tour. We're like, this is like the biggest tour we've ever been on. And we walked in there and we were just seeing like the members of Hawthorne Heights walking around and just going, oh, hi, I have a laminate too. What do you want? It's the same one. It's the same laminate. But it was, I remember setting up merch and we were setting it up by Hawthorne and it was just, they didn't say one word to us. The guy who was setting up their merch, you know, didn't say one word. I was trying to be all cool, saying, look at our shirts. They're really cool, aren't they? Better than your shirts. But, you know, it was actually a couple of days till they had said anything to us. It was awkward for a while and we would just show up, we'd play, they wouldn't even be in the room, they would be in their van usually playing Xbox because
they're awesome.
And one day I think they made a mistake and actually heard our set and actually kind of liked it, and so things changed from then when they, and we became really good friends, and now we're really close friends with them. And so I just hope that, well, not hope, but I'm excited because I don't think we're going to have to go through that awkwardness of, I don't know, meeting them.
I don't know, we're pretty awkward all the time anyway, so it's
So, I mean, you guys even brought them out here to play a show at Valor, and I was so mad that I missed that because I was like, Hawthorne Heights in such a teeny venue.
I called up Corey and I was like, hey, do you want to do a show? And and he was like, yeah, sure, I'd love to have you guys. And I'm like, all right, it's going to be us in Hawthorne Heights. And he kind of like stalled on the phone. He's like, oh, wait, Hawthorne Heights is coming here? And I was like, yeah, it's going to be fun. He was like, all right, well, thank you.
My brother-in-law went to the show, and he went by himself because his wife and family were all out of town. And I was out of town at the time, so I couldn't go with him. I was really bummed, and he was just like, yeah, I'm just going to go to the show because I guess Hawthorne Heights is playing at Valor. And it was like a month after we had you guys for the webisode, and he had no idea that we knew you guys. And I was like, oh, yeah, the Young Electric's on this show. And he's just like, oh, okay. And then, like, afterwards, he was just like, holy crap, they were incredible, and Hawthorne Heights was incredible. And I was just like, don't rub this in on me that I missed this. Like, rare opportunity to see this show in such a teeny venue.
Yeah, it was actually, I think it was a weird time for Hawthorne Heights, too, because they had just got off, you know, they had got as big as you can probably get in rock and roll. And then they were on, I would say, probably their downward slope, which is still, for us, it was an upward slope looking up for a band like us, because they were still pulling, like, 1,000 kids a night. But now they're back, you know, right after we played that show, we found out that they were going to be headlining the Warped Tour. And so we're like, oh man, like these guys are coming back into it. So that's cool to see friends that, you know, cause music, it kind of, you kind of peak and then you go down and nobody remembers you. But these guys, they were able to peak, come down, and now they're back up on. I mean, I'm not sure if they'll ever be as big as they were, but headlining Warped Tour isn't a, you know, it's not a small task. It's a pretty cool thing, so.
Yeah, I had almost forgot how big they were, and every day was we walk into our production room before Radio from Hell starts. We actually have their, like, platinum record display that hangs right there, and I'm like, oh, that, I didn't realize that they were that big at one point.
Yeah, I had forgotten. Well, I hadn't forgotten. I knew how big they were when we were going out with them. And when we were out there, just their live set, song after song, oh yeah, that was top 40. That was a number one single. That was, you know.
There was one thing, I can't remember what it was, that it got so overplayed, and it would always just drive me crazy when I'd hear it. And it was when I was still trying to do some work here and there promoting any of the Victory bands. And I had called Victors to get some posters, and they put me on hold for like 15 minutes, and it was that song on repeat. And I was just like, no, no more. So with this new tour, you know, going into the new year, what plans do you guys have, you know, with 2014 to really keep the energy going and be able to, I assume with this EP that there'll be a full length to follow.
You know, I'm not sure. I would say there's going to be a full length, but it was really fun to just do kind of a short round of awesomeness, because it really hits you in the face. Every song is exactly the way we wanted it. Like, I wouldn't change a thing on the record. So I'm not saying that there won't be a full length, but I also wouldn't mind if we just keep doing little three round or even singles. You know, the industry has kind of changed to where you can do that and be fine. Like, singles sell way more than albums right now, and not that we're trying to sell, but if that's, you know, it's kind of fun to write a song and go and record it the next week. Like, so when you do an album, you write for, you know, 6 months maybe, and you put all that work together, and it's awesome, and it's a different experience. But these three songs were like, you know, we could focus the, I don't know, it was just really fun to do. So I wouldn't mind if we did that again. Our plans right now are to just push this, because we're really, really excited about the songs, and to just tour, lots of touring. I think we're going out again in February or March, so.
Any idea who you guys are going out with then? Or?
I am not sure. There's been a couple names, but I won't say the names because it's not a definitive yet, and I like to build hype.
So where you guys are releasing this in a DIY situation, are you guys looking to jump back into a label, or right now is it just, you know, what you guys can do on an independent basis?
I think any band who said that they wouldn't want someone to, you know, a label to say, hey, we're going to give you all this money to go record, you know, they'd be lying. I think we'd go into it a little bit more level-headed and realize that we actually have to do things ourselves. It's not just going to happen with the magic dust of being on a label. But yeah, if the right label came to us, I think, you know, with the right deal, we'd for sure go again.
we're going to try and go as far as we can on our own, you know, like do as much as we can without, you know, any support or something like that. I mean, we still have lots of friends all over the place offering us support, like our manager and different things like that, helping out with booking agencies and different things, so.
I might see differently than other people in the band, but as far as being in a band and being happy, because that never happens, like, you're always, like, wanting more, like, I'm actually happy where we're at. Like, I'm really, if we never got signed again and we were just kind of doing this as, with people that we love and making music together and doing, like, you know, like, creating art together, like, I won't mind that at all. If I still have to work my 9-to-5, like, that's fine with me as long as I can do this. So, I'm not sure. I think it's about the same for the rest of us. I don't know. Matt, I know, he only wants to be, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he wants to get, like, into recording, and he just wants to stay, like, music-oriented and doesn't like,
yeah, and not that up. Not that music, like, I want to stay music-oriented too, but as far as, like, being a big shot, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, I don't think, for one, that doesn't really happen anymore. For two, it's, I don't know. I guess it would be kind of unrealistic to think that, you know. We all have hopes of being a rock star, but rock stars are kind of dead. It doesn't really happen anymore. And so, you know, some of my favorite bands that I want to be just like, they have jobs when they get home from tour. And so, you know, if we can just make the music, if I'm still with these guys, because it's kind of like a marriage, I guess.
Very dysfunctional marriage.
Yeah.
Unhealthy relationships.
Especially two practices ago. That was very dysfunctional practice.
Yep. We had those.
Now, with you guys having your 9-to-5, though, I mean, are these practices, they've got to be pretty late nights. So some of the sleep deprivation has got to attribute to that some.
We can't practice too late.
Yeah, we get probably people complaining in the neighborhood.
Yeah, we actually practice at my parents' house, and that's where they actually built a little room. It was a greenhouse, and they built a band room for us, and we've had that ever since we've been in a band, pretty much. And so we like to respect the neighbors, because we've only had the cops call on us once, and it was when we first started playing, and we were like, oh, great, they built this band room for us, and now we can't practice here. But after that, nobody called. We insulated a little bit better, and so now we try and not play past 10. Well, we only play past 10 if we have like a show the next day that we haven't practiced for, that we need to get going on. But we usually practice from 5:30 to like 8 or so.
I'm pretty sure sleep deprivation is what caused the practice of 2 days ago.
Yeah,
everybody wigging out. Me and Drew wigging out. Yeah. Me wigging out at Drew. Everybody tired.
So, yeah. Drew's always tired, though, so...
Yeah. Drew needs at least 20 hours of sleep a day in order to function properly.
Now, does Drew still have his incredible mustache going on?
He just shaved it the last day we were in the studio.
The last day we were in the studio, he disappeared in the bathroom and then came out, like, 10 minutes later and was like, hey, guys, and the mustache is gone.
It was so weird, and we're like... Did you put that in his sink, or what, like...
I went in later, and yeah, there was hair all over there, so.
I remember when I first saw that he'd grown that, you guys were getting ready to play Park City TV, and you had posted a picture, and I was like, he looks exactly like Jack Black and Bernie right now.
Don't tell him that.
I started laughing so hard, because it seriously just looked like it was the three of you guys with Jack Black. So you say don't tell him that. Does he think he looks like Jack Black with it?
Yeah. He
mums
like,
a lot.
He doesn't like that. He doesn't like that comparison.
He's a mummer for sure.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I for some reason this had popped into my head this morning of a show that you guys played probably 7-8 years ago.
Oh, I remember it.
With the original frontman, I believe, of Megadeth. Do you remember this show?
Oh, yes.
I don't know why I was... Because I remember it was when I was working with Allred at the time. And I remember we'd gone down to St. George.
Allred play that show, too?
Yeah.
Was Allred on the show? That was a weird show. Allred and Us and Megadeth. Fantastic.
I just remember their awesome light show that took 4 hours to set up.
Oh, jeez. That was the worst.
I remember I got there late because I was driving down with my girlfriend at the time and her brother and one of their friends. And so I had to deal with all their schedules. Like, guys, we're like 2 hours behind. I was supposed to be here beforehand. And I remember getting there and you guys were all bothered by it. And so was Allred. And so I was like, yeah, something's gone weird here. But I just remember a weird show. And yeah, all I could remember, I think it was with Megadeth.
Out of all the shows you could have brought up, I would have been like, brought up.
Okay.
I'm glad you were here. I'm
English isn't his strong suit, but
I'm quivering at what I might have said without you here. Quivering at the thought. I'm shaking at the thought. But that show I definitely remember, because I remember being so pissed. I was so mad at that show.
That focused a lot of anger, and nobody at the show liked them. Nobody. The kids, the audience, nobody did. No, everybody was very resentful over there. Even the promoters after the fact were just not pleased with how things turned out.
I remember, because we actually brought, it was a really good show. I think there was like 200 to 300 kids there or something.
Yeah, there was a couple hundred kids there, and
They
were there for us, and so F5 was their name. I don't think they're around anymore.
Yes, that is their name.
And there was like two or three of the members of Megadeth and some other people from other metal bands or whatever, and they were pissed. Like, the promoter dude threatened Miley, and like, there was just like, they're pulling their way around, and
yeah, because they were trying to not give us our dinky like $100 for coming down there after we brought all the kids, and they were trying to give Miley, like, they were trying to just like bully her. Like, he was, I kind of understand it, because they grew up in a time where there actually were rock stars, but I guess they don't realize that doesn't exist anymore, that bands are just a dime a dozen, that everybody's in a band. Everyone at the show was probably in a band, and so you're no big deal.
Was the last time Megadeth was mentioned in popular culture was a Bill and Ted's movie? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I had thought of that show this morning. So for some reason, yeah, it had just popped into my head, and I remember I bailed on Denny's afterwards, and everybody was pissed at me and all, right, because I didn't go to Denny's. But I was tired of Denny's.
Those guys like to hold weird grudges. I think they're still mad at our Jamal Red All shirts.
Yeah.
Our Jamal Red t-shirts, sorry.
Which shirts were these? I don't know if I remember these.
We played with All Red. It was an awesome show in the venue, and we made I have a friend that has, like, this little t-shirt inkjet, like, magic printer or whatever, and it just prints, like, on white or light color shirts, so you can print, like, whatever you want without having, like, to set up anything. So we got these shirts made, and it was said Jamal Red on it, because, like, he used to have this thing that was, like, J.L. Red, and so we're like, Jamal Red, Jamal Red. We come up with these dumb things all the time for him, just because...
For our friends, by the way, like, we don't just do this... We would never make a t-shirt for a band that we hated.
But yeah, this is great. And so we made this, like, Rastafarian t-shirt with him on it. And it was pretty awesome. It was him with, like, dreadlocks and with this beanie and stuff on. And it was him singing, and it was this Jamaican flag behind him or whatever. And
I still have mine.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
You'll have to send me a picture of this, because that sounds pretty amazing.
And we gave him out at the show. We busted him out on our merch table. It was pretty awesome. Shane Love's wife was like... all bent out of shape about it. Yeah, and I was like, this is a joke, lady.
Yeah, this is... We're having fun.
He loved it. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, I thought that he loved it, but I'll see him around, and I always thought that we were friends. It's always kind of weird, like, what I was talking about with, like, the bands that you go on tour with, that things are weird the first 2 days. It's weird like that with us all the time with him. It's just always like, did I say something to make you upset? Like, I'm not... Because we're really...
We love the guy to death, but...
He hates us, I think. I honestly don't think he likes us.
Which is too bad, because he's awesome, and he's such a good musician.
I think it's a product of us taking things too far all the time. We do that all the time. We're perpetual line steppers. Habitual line steppers. So, yeah. We do that all the time, and I don't think we realize people outside of our circle of completely dysfunctional friends. knows how to handle that, and especially
don't even knows how to have a good time.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I don't know, because when I was with All Red all the time, when you guys would be there, it was never anything. I always just thought it was hilarious, and yeah, they would always get awkward about things. So I learned to never listen to Drew on food things years ago.
Yeah, that's something you have to learn as soon as you meet Drew, just not to really.
I learned that after throwing up having a double triple at Wendy's. When Drew had suggested, Drew had suggested getting a triple, but double the meat.
How much was that hamburger? Was it like $12 or something?
It was something like that. I remember the grease had saturated the wrapper so much that it was like transparent. It was getting transparent.
Oh man, yeah. Drew likes to challenge people to that all the time. It's pretty awesome. We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, I remember him talking about it, and like the next day I was like, I'm gonna try that. I took one of my buddies up and we tried it, and we're like, why did we try this?
It's not good.
So now, I remember too, Natty, you used to always, you had reality broken clothing.
Yes.
So, and I don't see that anymore, and I've always been devastated because I loved that clothing line.
I've been thinking about bringing some of it back, at least with like doing some hard goods and stuff like that, because I was involved in a couple of companies that made... Like
I'm running
bags.
Out of clothes to wear. I need Natty to make me some clothes.
We make, like, bags and, like, laptop cases and iPhone cases and stuff like that. I mean, there's, like, a million of those companies, but I want to do something like that. But
see, you say there's a million, but you're the best one. Like, honestly, the stuff you design is
awesome.
Well,
thank you, Riley.
I know I honestly still have a couple shirts sitting somewhere because I'm a hoarder. And even though that was, like, 7 years ago, it was like, they're too good of shirts, I can't... They're completely faded and almost gone, but they're great shirts.
Well, I work with a company now that we make stuff in China for, like, you know, Ruka and Billabong and all these action sports companies and stuff like that. So I have all these connections in China, so it's like, I should just use these connections and get some rad stuff made, like some really cool bags and some, like, really high-end kind of stuff, whatever, wax canvas, cool junk, I don't know, whatever.
I just want shirts with my face on it.
We can do that. I built the screen printer. Let's go do it.
I still need to make the t-shirt.
I made Riley build me a screen printer, I should say. Yeah. He built this sweet vacuum table for me and all this other gear. Now we just need to print stuff. That's the other part of the battle.
Yeah. is actually doing it. We have all this stuff. Let's not use it.
Yeah. So you've been designing all of the Young Electric t-shirts, though?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and those have been pretty Thankfully. Rad.
No, those have been really rad. You know? No,
I'm just kidding. I think I own each one of them, so yeah, I would agree.
They're all right. We'll continue for
a second. Manny's never happy. He's happy for like the 30 seconds right after he finishes, and he's like, yeah, that's pretty good. And then it's all, ugh.
It's weird to sit there and compare it to, like, we go out with other bands and you see all this stuff, like, the other band's design stuff is always, like, these really elaborate illustrations of, like, you know, like, ten color things of, like, dinosaurs ripping each other apart, or, you know, like, these weird illustrations and stuff like that, and it's like, it's cool, and that's totally not what we're doing. Like, we have all these, like, really minimal illustrations and different things like that and type treatments, because that's just what fashion brands do, I guess.
Yeah.
Like,
it looks cleaner. I think it looks... It looks
we're gonna
much
open
better.
Up a mall store, and then we're just gonna sell our shirts.
Everybody come out and get our shirts. Just have us blasting through them.
If I can advise against that, I would.
What would you know?
What would you know about a mall store?
So, anything to promote as we kind of wrap this up, other than like the EP coming out, this upcoming tour.
We just released an official music video for our song Hospital. Mm-hmm. That was off of our debut album Machines that we released last year. And we shot that together about a month and a half ago at Pleasant Grove High School. Shot it ourselves, borrowed and begged some cameras and got a couple of friends on to take care of.
Natty says we shot it ourselves. What that means is Natty shot it himself. And he edited it.
You just kept a GoPro on the entire time.
Yeah, we should do that. Just have like a stick poking out in front of the camera. And so, you know, we took that into my little copy of Final Cut and threw it out there. So
awesome. I'll make sure we get that put up on the site as we post this episode.
Nice.
We're actually going to do a music video, an awesome music video for each one of these songs.
I'm sure you saw it. We put out that teaser video for that had about 45 seconds of the second song on the EP that's coming out. And we'll be doing, I'm putting together that lyric video, and that'll be out before we leave for tour so we can kind of promote it on tour. So people can sing along karaoke style. And we'll be doing, as soon as we get back, we'll be doing an official music video for that one.
Awesome.
Also, I'm pretty sure shooting it ourselves and getting some help.
I'm not
sure
either.
If you guys need any crew for that, I know a couple of film students that have done quite a bit of work lately.
Like who?
So I can't remember their names.
All right.
It's nice to have people that know how to like handle the camera, full focus, and you know, actually not have us blurry.
Yeah, actually, that would be good if you... Yeah.
Yeah, I'll contact them.
Hooray, community!
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you guys were able to make it down and be able to brave this
now
crazy snowstorm. Hopefully it'll be an easier trek back.
I had actually sent a text to Natty before we had got here that I don't think went through because he's here, but I was like, if you can't make it, that's okay. The weather's really bad. And I would just feel bad just because Natty likes to die.
It's a habit of mine. I actually don't live too far from here, so it's okay.
Okay, well, good. So I'll let you guys get to the Real game.
All right,
woo! So
let's hope for a win, but expect a loss. Is that what we had?
That's what we had started with. So
that's how we started out this interview.
All right, I'm coming back around full circle.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.